The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning, and how is life with you this morning? Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Join the conversation at 770-5633, 770-KMED. We're going to be looking for highs in the mid-70s today. Starting to dry out a little bit warmer for tomorrow. And I had a listener write me, I think, ended up saying there's going to be a rat rod show Saturday over at Pottsville in Josephine County. That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like a lot of fun to go and blow off some steam and try to get yourself out of this political doom loop, I guess. I don't know. I might just have to go to that. I just might have to. Has anyone ever been to the rat rod show? I guess this is the way it was described to me is that rat rod is something that you just kind of put together whatever kind of vehicle you have. This is something that I'm sure that the EPA is not very happy about because, the people that will put together the rat rods, those are the same ones that will be the warlords if we ever end up getting into a Mad Max kind of time. There's my conspiracy theory. Those will be our best friends, the people who are putting together the rat rods in Josephine County this weekend, all right? Anyway, join in 770-5633. We have some open phones to start. I'll noodle around with some of the headlines. So let me tell you about who I'm going to talk with. And I know that it was very difficult to pin down Kamala Harris the other night on that debate. I'm going to put the debate in the scary air quotes. And yes, I know. I've noticed that the right-wing press has been doing a good job of just saying it's ABC, and yep, ABC is shameful. ABC should be ashamed of itself. And the part that I'm still going to continue to wonder here, just looking at my headphones, they're all tangled up. I'll take care of that wire in the break. But anyway, question I would have for you this morning, I posted to a listener yesterday who said no. How long will it be before boomers and Gen Xers and millennials decide to not give money to the Disney empire? Because remember, I'm talking about conservatives. You know, conservatives, it just astounds me. It just astounds me to see conservatives that continue, well, I got to have Disney Plus because, the kids are coming over, the grandkids, and I couldn't talk to the kids. I can't talk to the grandkids. I have to have Disney Plus or else there's, you know, we just can't possibly survive. Why would you give that corporation money? Why would you give anything that helps ABC News continue to do its dirty deeds, as it were? And apparently the person running ABC News is, you know, a direct friend of Kamala Harris. Ended up helping introduce her to Doug Emhoff, I understand. So it's just obvious that this was, you know, right from the beginning. And everybody knew that this was the way it was going to be. So that part we can't do anything about. You knew it was going to. I can't help the fact that Trump ended up going up and taking the bait each and every time, which was very, very sad. But actually, it may not be all so bad in the end. We'll just have to see about this. But that is one question I would have for Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Are you going to stop giving money to the Disney empire? And if not, why? I am astounded at the number of adults that feel that they can't function, that a bucket list is still going to Disneyland as an adult and giving money to not Walt Disney, but to the communists that are running Disney now, the hard lefties, right? Why do we do this? Why does this continue to happen? Why do conservatives go to Starbucks still? I know you can't buy around everything. You can't take your money and buy around absolutely everybody who hates you. But there are certain businesses around here that are really easy to buy around in the United States of America. There are lots of choices for coffee here in Southern Oregon. I have relatives who are conservatives. What do you want for a gift? I want a Starbucks gift certificate. And we've even asked them, why? You're conservative. Starbucks hates you. Why are you going there? These are the things that just make me tear my hair out. And I still have a relatively decent head of hair at 63, so I can afford to lose some of it. But this is the stuff that just gets me. I'll see friends that are on Facebook. Oh, we're going to take the grandkids and everything. We're going to go over to Disneyland. Yeah, you're giving the money to ABC News to sit there and try to destroy it and transgender your kids. You know, it's the same empire. This is not Walt Disney's Disneyland. And I don't mean to just go off on Disneyland, but gosh, why do we do this? Is it that hard? Can you not make it without, it's a small world after all? Is it that much of a draw? You have to go there and spend, $200 to $300 a day in ticketing and everything else, you know, to go to the Disney Empire and then fund people who hate you? What about that? You know? That and Starbucks and various others. You can't buy around everything, but you can buy different coffee. You can go to maybe some locally owned chains. Even Human Being. You know, you go to Human Being, you know, everyone's kind of working on the same formula. You take an outhouse-sized building, and you put some hot chicks inside there and maybe a couple of guys. and they sell you overpriced coffee. I mean, if you have to. Malolos or something like that. At least dealing with companies that aren't openly hostile to you, if nothing else. All right, yeah, I know you're not going to find conservative companies everywhere. But can we at least try to spread our money around to places that aren't openly hostile? Target is certainly openly hostile. We know that. And there are others. I don't know. Maybe I'm just barking up the wrong tree. You can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but it just astounds me when I see friends and relatives. Oh, we got to go to Disneyland. Oh, we got to have Disney Plus. I can't make it without it. And then you complain, why is the culture hating us and trying to kill us all? Well, takes money to do that, right? And conservatives are helping to feed that, unfortunately, in many cases. We could talk about that, 770-5633. Of course, it may not bother, I guess, having anybody change a habit or two. That wouldn't necessarily be all that fun, would it? I know. You know, they were fact-checking Trump on the dog eating, right? Remember David Muir doing that? Gosh, what a detestable human. Of course, he was probably just doing what his boss wanted, right? So I don't know if I should be mad at the two debate moderators or more of the bosses of the debate moderator that said, oh, by the way, you got to be a homer for Kamala, that kind of thing. But as far as the dog eating in Springfield, and everyone's been making memes about it. It's been very funny. And yeah, you're laughing about it. Cat memes, dog memes. You know, I think my favorite one yesterday was a cat that had a pistol underneath his paw. He was like sleeping on top of it. You know, a Springfield cat. I like this. But we were automatically told by the ABC news team, as it were, that the manager of Springfield, Ohio, said this was not happening. This was not credible. And of course, now they're finding out that all sorts of people have been coming forward. There have been 911 calls, Haitian migrants that have been cutting the heads off of geese in the park and taking them home and et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, it's like you almost know when something is confirmed as soon as the government official in the town, city, state, country, or whatever it is denies it. As soon as they deny it, you're okay, yeah, it's true. And so ABC News is trusting the city manager of Springfield, which, of course, doesn't really want to be known that we've taken basically a country or a town that was very nice and peaceful before and put 15,000 to 20,000 Haitian migrants that have no idea how to operate as Americans and just dropped it in there. And this is part of the make a red state more blue and communist kind of deal coming from Kamala Harris. And that should have been something that was talked about seriously. But Trump had to go with the dog thing rather than just going with the testimony of the residents that had been out there before, like I mentioned yesterday, in which they're saying, hey, you know, you're protecting these migrants. Who's protecting us? You know, that kind of thing. Remember the soundbite that I played here yesterday? Well, guess what? After all of this brouhaha from the debate, Ohio's governor, Mike DeWine, now sending law enforcement and millions of dollars in healthcare resources to Springfield. Governor DeWine, by the way, who is a Republican. Now, and they see, okay, DeWine must be an idiot here. He's one of the idiot Republicans. Okay, Governor Mike DeWine, an idiot Republican, said he doesn't oppose the temporary protected status program under which some 15,000 Haitians have arrived in the city of about 59,000 people since 2020. However, he said the federal government must do more to help impacted communities. In a news conference, DeWine said that dramatic surges in illegal immigrants impact every citizen of the community, adding that the small Ohio city of Lima and Findlay also have had influxes. Because remember, you have to turn red states communist and blue and poor. Maybe that's why we haven't seen as much of that here, because we're already communist and blue in many ways, right? Governor Mike DeWine says the federal government simply has to be part of the solution. Mike DeWine? Republican? This is like a Mitt Romney Republican. What do you mean? Well, I don't have any problem with this temporary protected status program. These people don't belong here. You just open them up and you just dump them in our communities? Going after the cats and dogs and then cutting the heads off of the ducks and geese and taking them home for food? Anyway, Jack Phillips reporting in the Epic Times here, Ohio State Highway Patrol being dispatched to help local police with traffic issues. City officials and social media posts have indicated that Haitian drivers are frequently involved in accidents and crashes. The goal, of course, is to reduce dangerous driving, regardless of who the driver is. Yeah, see, to try to hold Haitians accountable for their behavior, that's racism. Maybe that's why DeWine's being the dim bulb DeWine, in which, we don't oppose the temporary protected status program. Hey, if you care about your state, you should, Governor DeWine. Oh my gosh, where do we get these Republicans? Are there any Republicans that are willing to actually take an arrow coming in there? Hey, these people don't belong here. I don't mean to go there, but it just gets me so irritated, the laydowns here, because everyone's afraid of, being called racist or bigoted or how about just like you're disruptive, okay? And I wanted to bring your attention to a great piece by Sean Ring. Sean Ring is one of my favorite financial bloggers, that along with Mike Shedlock. Mike Shedlock's on mishtalk.com. I comment there every now and then. Sean Ring is the editor of The Rude Awakening, rudeawakening.com. And he ended up writing on this situation in Springfield and how Trump kind of stepped in it and all the memes and everything else. But although, Trump's heart's in the right place. He understands what was going on here. But he ended up bringing my attention to something that I had forgotten about. It was Hans Hermann Hoppe. And it's talking about the balance between free trade and restricted immigration. And this is something that we need to be thinking about in the United States, and we should have been thinking about it all along. Hans Hermann Hoppe wrote a book about this. Hoppe's critique of modern immigration policies, as Sean writes, is tied to his broader understanding of free trade. He's a staunch advocate for the free exchange of goods and services, arguing that it leads to mutual benefits and increased wealth for all involved. However, he draws a sharp distinction between goods, in other words, trade, and people. Goods don't bring with them the cultural values, legal traditions, or societal expectations that people do. In Hoppe's view, the fundamental problem with unrestricted immigration, like what's been done to Springfield, Ohio, what's been done to so many areas of this country, especially by the Biden administration lately, is that it treats people like goods, assuming that the movement of individuals will have the same positive effects as the movement of capital or the movement of products. But yet, unlike goods, people bring their customs, beliefs, and practices, which may not align with the cultural framework of the host society. In cases where immigration is rapid and unassimilated, Hoppe argues that this can lead to cultural clashes, social unrest, and the destabilization of communities. All you have to do is take a look at the UK. UK has a big problem these days with stabby, rapey Muslim refugees. France, too, for that matter. So let's assume that the Haitian immigrants contribute economically and socially to the community, he writes. If so, they've been scapegoated for a perceived disruption of local norms and values. Though unfounded, the accusation that they are eating pets is a symptom of a more profound unease about cultural integration and the fear that these new arrivals might not conform to Springfield's established way of life. And it's a fair point. By the way, Sean didn't know, though, about the now all the 911 calls that have been coming into Springfield in which they're, yeah, they're grabbing the wildlife and the pets and things like that. And so it started to be credible. As soon as ABC News denied it, then people started looking into it and, oh, yeah, it's kind of true. But anyway, Hoppe's solution to this problem is not a blanket immigration restriction, but rather the idea that immigration should be handled as a private property issue. And I like this. I think this is something worthy of consideration. Under a system of private property rights, folks, communities would have the authority to decide who enters their spaces, allowing for a more controlled and voluntary form of immigration. This approach aims to avoid imposing culturally foreign practices on unwilling hosts. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Do you think this is something where cities and states should be able to just say, no, we really don't want them? Yes, I think they can. I think they should. And this is a matter of private property rights, because in essence, you are invading our private property rights. Our private property, our private properties, rather, are taxed to support the incoming horde. We should probably have some say on who and what comes. I think that sounds reasonable. I think there's a little bit more to this, too. Hoppe's critique also targets the modern welfare state, which he sees as exacerbating the problem of unrestricted immigration. He argues that in a society where welfare programs are available to everyone, immigrants can become a financial burden on the host society, especially if they aren't fully integrated into the labor market. Creates understandable resentment. Who feel their resources are drained by people who have no right to the town's treasury. Absolutely right. Treat it like private property. Let the cities, let the counties, let us decide whether or not we take the migrants, as it were. What do you think? 28 after 6, you're on the Bill Maier Show.
Ready to sip your way into fall bliss?
It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Let me go to Tom. Hello, Tom. How you doing? By the way, Pacific Power's president in town yesterday, apologizing profusely, apparently, for all the power outages. So everything's going to be fixed, I guess. Don't worry about it, okay?
Oh, yeah, just a few more windmills and such.
That's all it will take, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Solar panels. So what you were saying about immigration, you know, I've often said the greatest threat to the peace, prosperity, and freedom of the American people is our own government and mm-hmm. the voters who elect them. And when it comes to the borders, I want to just warn people, you know, you have, I'm pretty much a libertarian in a lot of ways in terms of nonviolence and live and let live and accept people and so forth and so on. But I wanted to warn people, you have the Communist Party, the Democrat Party, and the Libertarian Party all calling for open borders. And
it's a very childish, dangerous policy. That's why I broke with the Libertarian Party a long time ago, because it's not a governing principle with open borders. You can't do it. You can't do
and
it.
And I appreciate your aspect. You have the same attitude as or thoughts that I do in terms of looking at, in terms of private property. I think people can come together as a country, as a nation, and have the private property of their nation. And they draw a line in the sand and says, all right, if you want to have on your side of the border, you can have all of communism, socialism, and fascism you want. But over here, we have something called a Bill of Rights and freedom, mm-hmm. and we want to preserve those. And so we have a right as a people to declare our country private property and to regulate that border.
Well, let's take a look now, and think of the damage. Well, you look at Findlay, not Findlay. Well, Findlay, Ohio is one of the people mentioned in that article I was just mentioning or talking about. But Springfield was a town of about 50,000 that all of a sudden became a town of around 70,000 overnight with Haitian immigrants, Haitian migrants that were brought in and just dumped into the city. And that's not all that different than if you know, if Talent were to all of a sudden get 5,000 Haitian migrants, what would have happened there? What if Medford got 10,000 on top of the 70 or 80,000 that we have here? You know,
it's on the way. It's only a question of time, because that's the policy. That's the agenda.
Yeah, the globalist agenda is to destroy your social cohesion, apparently. Keep us fighting amongst ourselves. I think there's something to that, Tom.
It's to destroy the concept of a country, to not have countries. This has been implemented since the 1970s in the writings and so forth. Mm-hmm. And now it's official policy to basically abolish borders, abolish countries altogether, so that we can have one happy kumbaya world government fascist dictatorship.
I know that sounds very conspiratorial, but it's right on. And frankly, the people advocating this deserve one thing and one thing only: a rope around the neck. Okay, and that's how I think you might have to deal with people like that sometime.
Yeah, I call that the lamppost solution.
Mm-hmm. The Mussolini and the Ceausescu kind of solution. Okay. Appreciate the call there, Tom. Let me go to line three. Hello, line three. Who's this?
Yeah, Ron Grasspass.
Ron, what are you thinking this morning? Huh?
Well, I'm going to echo what you guys are just talking about. And by the way, thank you very much for providing us a platform with which we can speak.
Oh, you're welcome.
In any case, the proximate cause is the communist U.S. government that we have right now, who are bringing in plane loads and bus loads of people, not with any kind of compensation to follow to offset the cost to the society, let alone the cost for the infrastructure, such as schools and hospitals and so on.
And when they do this here, Ron, I honestly believe to the core of my being that this government is not worthy of citizen respect and or recognition. It is illegitimate when it does this sort of thing. It is doing everything actively to destroy us. And yet, I don't know, how do you respond to something like that? I know it's above our pay grade in many ways.
Well, I think, Tom, and you mentioned the solution a minute ago, you know, the retribution threat is what they will respect, provided it's actuated.
Okay. All right. Hey, appreciate the call there, Tom. I'm a little short on, I'm sorry. Who is this?
One last.
Okay, go ahead.
One last thing. The voting machines that we have heard about around the United States, I think, are probably going to cancel a lot of the Trump or opposition. And so we need to get rid of them as well.
All right. Appreciate the opinion. Thank you, Ron. And I'll grab one more before the break. Who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Hey, Bill. Deplorable Patrick here.
DP, fire away.
Yeah. Good morning. I'll be quick. I think one of the good places we could start to solve the problem you're talking about is ditch the word migrants and use the correct word, invaders.
Language is important, is it not?
Yes.
All right.
And I thank you so much for the show.
All right. Thank you for calling it, too. 636. We'll have a little more open phone time here in a bit. I'm going to talk with Steve Malloy. Because on top of destroying social cohesion, which is what the Biden administration has been working really hard on with its open border policy, it's also trying to make sure that we don't have energy. What would actually be the cost of this? And I know that they couldn't pin Kamala down, but Steve Malloy, who is the founder of JunkScience.com, did. And he ended up releasing a note about that. I'll talk with him about it in just a few. A lot of fun stuff there.
The Rogue Gardeners. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Steve Malloy rejoins the show. He's the founder of JunkScience.com. In fact, you can find him on X at JunkScience. Got to love that. And he's also... Now, are you a senior fellow at E&E, the Energy and Environment Legal Institute?
I am a senior fellow. I'm on the board of, you know... I'm a key guy.
Baby. Yeah, in other words, you're the key guy, the one who is responsible and has the secret handshakes that he shows all the new hires here. But... Steve, I wanted to bring you on here because President Trump, love the guy. I'm going to vote for him, going to support him and everything else. But it was not a great debate the other night. And yeah. Kamala managed to squishily scurry off into the you know, communist corners, wherever she ends up, you know, hiding whatever it is, and was not really held much accountable for much of anything, including, you know, the fracking ban and all these other things. And you put together a note that you released on X, which was a really interesting reading, in which this was everything that should have been or could have been brought up in that. And I was just kind of wondering if you could break down the real costs of having this person. I mean, she's this is serious as a heart attack. She could be the president here in a few months, unless people wise up pretty quickly. And this is a very, very serious cost to our lives. And I don't know if many people understand just the depths that this would be taking us. What do you say on that?
Well, yeah, I think people have to keep in mind that she was an original co-sponsor of the Green New Deal. She said that she opposed fracking. She has totally embraced, you know, the climate agenda. She opposes fossil fuels. You know, it's the Biden-Harris war on fossil fuels that caused the inflation. You know, when you make gas cost $5-6 a gallon, that is going to ripple through the economy in a very unfortunate way. And it has, and we're still living with it today. And although inflation has come down, we're just, you know, whatever inflation there is just adding on to the already high prices. Now, everybody knows that these prices have been crippling. And, you know,
as you just mentioned, though, I wanted to concur with you. Just because inflation has cooled somewhat does not mean that prices have reversed. It's just the rate of hike of going up has reduced somewhat.
Yeah.
But they're not going down.
Yeah.
It's not going back.
Right. And, if you're in the top 1%, it doesn't really affect you that much. But if you're not, these are real costs, and it affects how people live their lives. And it's all because of this mindless war on fossil fuels. She said in 2019, clear as a bell, that she opposed fracking, and her values have not changed. Now, I know that she says that, now I think fracking is part of the clean energy future.
Well, I take her at her word that, no, her values haven't changed. Her words may have changed, but I don't think her values changed, okay?
Yeah, she says she's not going to ban fracking. Well, technically she can't ban fracking, okay? It's just she doesn't have the power. But the Biden-Harris administration also can't ban coal plants. They also can't ban electric vehicles, gasoline-powered vehicles. But, of course, they're trying to do both. So even if she legally can't do it, she'll try to do it. And so you can't take what she says at face value, because she's just got the statements are just too conflicting. Whereas Trump has been the same way. You know, he wants to have coal, nuclear, gas. He even has this perversion for solar, which is, whatever.
I know. But, well, hey, nobody's perfect, I guess. And by the way, I have people who are friends of mine, a state senator we have here who is off the grid because it would cost $40,000 to bring the electric grid to his ranch out in eastern Oregon, right? Now, and then solar pencils. But if you're not in a situation like that, no, it doesn't pencil for most situations. But yet that's what's being forced upon us everywhere you go.
Yeah, and so today, in the Washington Post, there's this big article about how renters are paying more in rent because, higher utility costs. Well, why are we paying higher utility costs? Well, it's because of, the Inflation Reduction Act, where she cast a tie-breaking vote, all the wind and solar that's coming online. This stuff we've been lied to for decades. Wind and solar is not cheaper. It is more expensive. Under Trump was trying to make appliances like washing machines and dishwashers work better and cost less. And the Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration, reversed all that. They're actively destroying our appliances, making them work worse, yet cost more. And so, all of these things matter to people.
If I recall correctly, I recall reading an engineering study on what the federal regulations on, even when it comes to refrigerators and air conditioners and HVACs, have done, that the changes that have been done to them in order to make them use a little bit less energy have made them much more fragile, and and the life has gone down dramatically. So, before, you think about old refrigerators, sometimes they'd be sitting in the basement then and running for 30, 40 years. Just doesn't happen anymore. You're lucky to get 6-7 years out of a modern refrigerator.
I mean, there have been, you know, many studies since the 1970s on all these energy efficiency regulations, and they don't work. They don't work. They don't save anybody any money. They don't save any energy. I mean, nothing is changing. Things are getting worse. And this is the whole green agenda is about making things worse.
And I think it almost seems to be about punishing us for some reason. What is your take, by the way, on offshore wind? And the reason I bring this up is that off the coast of Oregon, there's a big to-do out on the coast because the folks on the coast are not real happy with this. But the Bowen plan is to put a bunch of offshore windmills, you know, out there in the ocean. And I guess that we don't have enough dead whales on our shores, Steve. You know, we don't have enough infrasonic waves in the ocean to kill the migrating whales and sea creatures and things. So we have to get our dead whale equity out here on the West Coast.
Well, so offshore wind is just a lose proposition. You know, there's no point in it. It's not, you know, changing the climate or improving the climate or improving the weather. Okay, so it's really not accomplishing anything. But what it is doing is making electricity more expensive. Offshore wind is about the most expensive form of electricity you can have. And then third of all, it has all these adverse environmental effects. You mentioned the dead whales. The Biden-Harris administration, they have written permits where, you know, the offshore wind industry, mostly owned by foreigners, can kill like hundreds of whales, thousands of dolphins, thousands of porpoises, thousands of seals. And the whales they're killing, on the East Coast, the North Atlantic right whale, there's only like 300 of them left. Yet the Biden-Harris administration has written permits to kill twice as many North Atlantic right whales as are thought to exist. This is crazy. You know, all these offshore turbines, they have these cables running to shore bringing the power. Those cables run at 140 degrees, which is pretty hot.
Really?
A hot shower.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
I had no idea. That's a pretty hot extension cord. But I guess
Right. And so, of course, that's going to have effects in the ocean as well. But you know, they're not looking at any of that because they don't care. They just want to throw these things up there. And then on the East Coast, you know, the East Coast fishing industry has just been decimated over the last 50 years. And this is just going to, you know, put the final stake through the heart because you're not going to be able to do fishing with, you know, windmills everywhere. It's just you can't do it.
The main issue I have with such a dependency on renewables is that you have to – I mean, everybody talks about how cheap the power coming from it. Well, the power is free coming out of the solar or the windmill, except that in order to integrate it onto the grid, Steve, and you know this, you have to have 100% backup by a natural gas or coal plant or something that you can instantly spool up and bring online when the clouds come or the wind stops blowing. And it's like you're having to build the power grid twice in order to have the renewables
on it. That's exactly it. And you know, so we had the Biden-Harris administration force this bill through Congress to provide $70 billion for new transmission lines for all this wind and solar. You know, this is just money being wasted on stuff that is making electricity more expensive. I mean, it just makes electricity even more expensive. It has no positive environmental effects. And it's being shoved down our throats. Unfortunately, Republicans are not organized enough and are being bought off by the solar and wind industries to oppose it. But we're just going to see even more of this with Biden Harris, and it's not American friendly. I mean, it is making things more expensive. It's degrading our standard of living, which is they don't care.
Now, I have to ask, since a lot of the solar cells, or most of them, seem to be made in China, does China subject its citizens to this kind of a situation, or are they all renewable because they build all of these solar cells and wind?
No, China. China has was the largest coal burner in the world. And I just saw a news article the other day where China is increasing its coal production by 1 billion tons, which is more than twice what the U.S. produces right now. And that's just their increase.
So we're getting rid of coal or doing everything possible to destroy the coal industry, which we have a lot of coal underneath the ground of this great country. Now, Can it be burnt truly cleanly, though? Because I remember the days of living by the West Penn Power Company in Allegheny County when I was growing up, and we genuinely had acid rain back in those days from a lot of those plants in the day. Is that still the way we work with coal, or do you know?
I guess we need to have a whole different interview on the acid rain hoax. But that's
no. Well, that could have been from the. That also could have been from the steel mills that we had around us too, and they were pretty dirty in the 70s. Okay,
we'll have a separate show on that.
Okay,
when you and I were growing up,
yeah,
there really weren't any clean air regulations. Of course, we have clean air regulations now. We have much better technology. And so we have these super ultra-critical coal plants, which, there's nothing that comes out of them basically other than water vapor. That white stuff you see coming out of the stacks, that's just water vapor. There's really nothing that comes out of them. Huh. And and even though we have all these, scrubbers to clean the exhaust, coal is still cheap.
Does that also?
What we really should be doing, instead of burning natural gas here, we should be burning coal because it's cheap, and we should be exporting the natural gas to like Japan, where they'll pay six times what we pay for it.
Oh, okay. So that could be an actual good positive trade balance, right? Balance of trade flow, cash coming in instead of all of our cash going out. What a concept.
Right. Yeah, we've been blessed with natural gas. Like only the Middle East, has as much, and I think we have more. And we could export it to Europe, we could export it to Asia. But of course, the Biden-Harris administration has put a moratorium on new LNG export terminals, so we can't really do that.
Yeah, it sure seems like there are certain people of a political persuasion that are just trying to tie our hands behind our backs and then tie our ankles together, too, and say, go ahead and keep walking. Yeah. Everything's going to be just fine. And do you think, though, that enough people will understand the depths of the problems that she, in another administration, Kamala Harris, would end up bringing to their lives? Or are we going to have to be destroyed first, and then, boy, I wish we'd listen to Steve Malloy at some point?
Well, I don't know. I mean, even in Pennsylvania, where, fracking is a very big deal, it's a close election because, I think our education system has just produced a population of many brain-dead people, and they get to vote. We used to call them low-information voters. And they get to vote, and they don't really understand what's going on. They'd rather vote for, someone who supports abortion over some guy who sends mean tweets. They don't really understand what's actually going to happen.
Boy, talk about voting against your own best interest. If they go in Pennsylvania for the Joy candidate, what Joy stands for? I think my favorite meme is "Jokes on you." Okay.
I hadn't heard that.
I thought that was one of the best. Go ahead, and I'm sure you can make up something with that, Steve. All right. Jokes on you. The problem is, though, it's as serious as a heart attack. All right, Steve Malloy, once again, at Junk Science on X, and he has a presidential debate fact sheet, which was worth it. I wish President Trump would get a copy of this, or you could get a copy of this to him, and remember this for any kind of future conversation you're going to have on all of this. Okay.
All right.
And once again, remember, eelegal.org, eelegal.org is the main energy and environment legal institute where Steve is at. And thank you for your work. You be well. Take care.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
6:55, Conspiracy Theory Thursday is where you are, and you're on the Bill Myers Show, KMED.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I've got a...
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Shade before 7 o'clock, this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. Jack Cashill is going to join me here in about 10 minutes, and he is the author of Ashley. I know that Ashley Babbitt's name was mentioned in the debate the other day, and Jack's posing the question, why weren't more there? I have a good answer for him at J6, but We'll dig down into that. And I think he'll have an interesting take on Springfield, given that he wrote a book about white flight, the real reason behind white flight back in the day, because he grew up in a New Jersey neighborhood that ended up transitioning also due to immigration and influx. So we'll talk about that. Jake's on the line here, too. Jake, you wanted to respond to what Steve Malloy was talking about over at Junk Science, all that that energy information that Kamala Harris is in favor of basically destroying. Of destroying the good life here, Jake. I guess it's where she's coming from.
Yeah, if you're looking at the enemy, the enemy's always trying to make you do something, spend money in the wrong direction. And if you look at the rest of the country, the rest of the or the rest of the world, they're doing things a little different, and they're looking at us like we're the beeholes of the planet because we've been beating up on them financially for so long. And then when you talk about money, you look at the economy, you got to look at the origin of that. The CIA is the enemy. John was trying to get rid of them a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, essentially,
engineering.
What was that now? I'm sorry.
They're the ones behind geoengineering. Dane Whittington on geoengineeringwatch.com. They're messing with our physical economic well-being in any way, manner, shape they can, because they got to take this country down. Otherwise, they can never take control of the planet.
And you have essentially CIA, or shall we say intelligence agency, control of the narrative through the blob media too. Jake, I appreciate your call. Good one for Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I believe this is Matt on line one. Is this Matt?
Yeah, I don't have a conspiracy for you, but I got to chime in on this appliance thing.
Yes. Okay, the appliance thing I was talking about, which the rules for the appliances in order to make them use less energy has made them incredibly fragile and unreliable, and you don't get much life out of stuff. So what are you thinking?
I would bet if you polled your listeners that 30 years ago when you bought a washer and a dryer for doing your laundry, they would last a decade or more. Mm-hmm. And just, they were workhorses, right? They were simple. You had a button, a knob, you know, things like that. You could soak things in them. So my first set when I moved here lasted about 15 years. I've bought two more sets since then.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Okay.
I gave up on microwave ovens. It's like every time I buy one, the one I bought when I was a bachelor, it was small. And I bought this thing like way back in the 80s. That thing lasted 20 years, and I've had to buy like six of them. And then finally, a year ago, I just told my wife, I go, you know, forget this. I'm not buying another one. We old school it, man. Mm-hmm. If we have to heat something, it goes in the oven or on the stove. And then the dishwasher, be stupid, you know, energy efficient. I decided, because it seems like it runs a long time. We do them at night, you know, when we go to bed.
They do run a long time. They do. They have
3 hours.
They have very long cycles and very little water, of course, because and by the way, you're not supposed to use anything with phosphates any longer. They took all the phosphates out of the standard dishwashing detergent. They still have phosphates in the ones for commercial because they actually need to be clean, you know, by law. You know, our stuff at home, according to the federal government, should only be partially clean. You know, that kind of thing.
And that was the other point. The thing, I turned it on at 9 o'clock. It ran until midnight. And I was thinking to myself, it can't possibly take this long. I mean, I could have washed all those dishes 400 times in the time it took that thing to run at once. And they still don't even come clean. I think they take the same water that they spray when it starts. They just keep spraying the dirty water back on the dishes. I mean, that's how it seems to me.
It could be. I have a little tip for you, though. This is something that I've been doing for a number of years.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone down to the hardware store and, or maybe paint store? You go down to Drake's Paint in Grants Pass, Medford, whatever, and they have TSP for sale, trisodium phosphate. You ever see that stuff? And it's a very it's an incredible detergent. You use it to clean walls before you paint and all sorts of other things. What you do is that you just take a teaspoon of TSP, put it in with your eco-friendly detergent, because everything that says eco means doesn't clean, okay? Eco detergent means doesn't clean. So you take a little teaspoon of TSP, put it in with your regular detergent. You will be amazed at how clean your dishes are afterwards because it does what the old dishwashing detergent did. It had phosphates in it. Okay.
Well, I'll throw this at you just really quick.
All right.
White flight, because this is coming up your interview, versus gentrification. You mm-hmm. cannot win. If you move in, you're bad. If you leave, you're bad.
Right.
You can't win.
Okay. We'll keep that
in
mind.
All right, Bill.
Thank you. Now remember,
bye.
TSP, trisodium phosphate. And by the way, don't buy the stuff that says TSP replacement, because TSP replacement doesn't have phosphates, and that means doesn't work either. Okay? There we go. Let me grab another call. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Is that me? Is that me?
It is you.
Okay, so I was going to say between cars, dishwashers, whatever you want to pick, for a long time now, between the maintenance and repairs and longevity of the item and the absolute fecklessness of it, we haven't had working stuff for 20 years as far as I can tell. You know, I don't use a dishwasher, and you know what kind of business I'm in already, Bill, but we're in the absolute consumer hellhole for that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know that old Vanagon of mine that you also helped with some repairs over the years? I tell you, even though it's getting tough to find some of the other ancillary parts, that engine and transmission, bulletproof now. I think I'm going to keep that rolling. All right? Simple.
Very wise.
Simple. Simple. In fact, I could put vegetable oil in that, and it would still run. You know that, right?
Yes, of course.
Thank you for the call. Good hearing from you, David. 5 minutes after 7, quick break on some news here, and then Jack Cashel. We're going to talk about Ashley. We're going to talk about White Flight and a bunch more. This is the Bill Myers Show.